It was this day last year when Joel Ostro joined us, the professor at Benedictine, to tell us what, because the official start date of the war really was after the Olympics. It was Valentine's. It was after Valentine's Day. Joel, what were we doing a year ago today?
It was February 24th, but it was today we went on the air because the warnings about a Russian invasion were starting to percolate, and the Biden administration went public with it. And, you know, we knew that Russian troops were amassing on the border. And the funny thing, John, is you might remember in subsequent conversations we had, I lamented how wrong I had been in those early conversations, because in my brain, in my memory, I had said that there was no way Russia was going to launch a full-scale invasion. That was certainly in my head at the time, but I went back and listened to that first interview, and I never said it. So I don't, you know, yay? I don't know what that means.
Well, here's what I remember, and it was, of course, closer to the invasion itself, or it was the invasion itself, mm-hmm. that long column of tanks and armored personnel carriers just rolling into Ukraine like they were coming down the highway, you know, like tourists. And I thought, why isn't a plane strafing them or something? And Joseph Lindsley, who is this American reporter who reports on Bob Surratt's show and has every day since then, was on my show that day. We were all just getting to know him. And he said this. He said, don't count on those Russians. He says, I'm getting reports that we're turning them back, that we are fighting them and winning. And I thought, who is this guy? You guys are not... I didn't believe him. Now I do. Now I do. I mean, in a year's time, we've learned how ill-prepared or incompetent the Russian army is.
The Russian, right? And that's true of dictatorships, you know, across time and space. That the dictator thinks one thing because his underlings are feeding him that information out of fear and corruption, and then the reality turns out not to be even close to. To what the information, the false information is, and that is has plagued Russia's military throughout, and it's one reason that that private mercenary group is showing somewhat more success. But let's temper that word success, because the methods, even to their own people, are brutal. New York Times revealing today enormous expansion of cemeteries of primarily those prisoners who have been conscripted, who have been used as cannon fodder and are just dying in droves. So that's a very interesting piece to check
out. Pause on that point. So not only did the Russians use their regular army, had trouble then recruiting young men to serve, but then they hired a professional mercenary group, and while they were having setbacks, they then went to the prisons in Russia and said, we will let you out if you fight in the war. And then the training they got was zero.
None.
They just gave them a gun, maybe some ammunition, no supplies, the clothes on their back, and they said, you go fight the Ukrainians who, have Western technology. It was cannon fodder. What do you make of this decision by the Germans? They are going to let Ukraine have the tanks, right?
Right. Well, we talked about it last week, and that followed immediately upon the United States grudging a decision to send M1A Abrams tanks, which Germany said is a precondition for their approval. And the United States decided yes, because Poland and its coalition of other states that have those Leopard 2 German-made tanks said, well, if Germany refuses to give permission, screw it, we're going to send them anyway. Now, the M1A Abrams, it's either one or two battalions we're going to send, and I think we talked last time about how that's such an insignificant amount given the hundreds of billions of dollars worth of aid and equipment that the United States and its allies have sent. You know, M1 Abrams tank costs, there's wildly varying estimates, somewhere between $6 and $15 million per unit. So let's call it 10 million. So if we send 14 of those, that's one battalion worth. That's $140 million out of what, almost $100 billion total that has been pledged and already delivered to Ukraine. So it's really minimal. And then the jet fuel and continual expensive maintenance, they're really not going to be useful for Ukraine or usable, and they might not even get there at all, because there's reports that it could take a couple of years before that battalion of tanks gets there. Now, Mr. Lindsley this morning raised question as to how soon the other tanks will arrive, because there's reports that's going to take 2 or 3 months to train and deliver those things. I will be stunned if it's not much, much quicker, on the order of weeks. Reason being that Ukraine has been conducting military exercises with NATO for several years now. It is hard to believe that some of those exercises did not include
right.
those tanks.
Right.
So there are going to be some units that have some familiarity with these already. And obviously, we've seen over and over and over again the rapidity with which the Ukrainian military is able to get up to speed on both the use and the maintenance of the various high-tech equipment that we have sent. So I would imagine it'll be weeks, and it has to be, because all reports are that a new Russian land assault could be imminent. So these are really urgent.
I understand. And as that happens, I'll call on you again. That's it for today. Dr. Joel Ostrow is a professor of comparative politics at Benedictine University. Thanks, Joel. Nice to hear your voice.
Always good talking to you. Thanks.